Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain, inform, but we'll talk about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I had to explain to someone what Digimon was today.
There's more stressful ones. Like, anytime someone wants to know what my job is, and in my head, I think there's three options. I can try to explain it properly, I can say I watch cartoons for a living, or I can just say some random nonsense that gets them to stop asking. I believe, historically, the most popular among people has just been going, I'm a drug dealer.
That sounds about right.
It has been a stressful week for all this stuff. How are you doing today? And I'm in the midst of packing and everything to move since I got a house, which is what I...
So how much of the packing are you doing yourself, and how much are you having someone else do?
I have work to do, and I have family. So that should answer that question.
That's convenient.
I mean, I've literally been working nonstop since the last time we did the show. Minus doing some stuff for the house.
Which is kind of a requirement.
Yes. Yes. I'm exhausted. I'm looking forward to not being exhausted, which should happen by next year. But by the time we do the next episode, it will be recording from the new house. And this is the last episode I will be recording from where I am now.
Hopefully nothing goes wonky with your setup in the interim.
I don't think it will. I even was able to get a speed test from the mobile internet to see. I was just like, oh, good. Even the cell phone connection is good. It was getting like 400 by 11.
But sometimes shit goes wrong when you do something like turn something off and turn it back on again.
Oh, absolutely. But so worst case scenario is the next episode gets delayed a bit. We got plenty to talk about, though. So first up, New Liberator. This one's interesting. I like how it actually starts off with the beginning setup elements for the battle before it does the recap.
Actually really happy because, like, yay, we're not getting an unnecessary recap. Oh, never mind. Here it is.
See, here's the thing. I think it works better that way because at first when you're doing the recap, when you do the recap first, sometimes your brain sort of goes, am I reading the wrong one?
Yeah.
So when it was something new, I'm like, okay, this is new. And then the recap's like, okay. And that's a refresher before we start.
Like, and now, how to play the Digimon card game somewhere.
I don't know. I like how it swaps the destination to the vacation for no real reason other than to then explain it to us.
It was nice.
Yeah. I will say, we've talked about how, like, the face work is some of the best artwork in the comic. They really stepped it up this chapter, though, to be honest.
All of them were amazing, especially Terramon.
And I like Elizamon basically being Owen, just much louder.
It's like, aw, it's an adorable, cute creature who must be pretty... No, this one's an asshole.
Yeah. I will say, I appreciate them setting up the rules that it does not matter if Shoto wins or not. I thought...
Yeah, because, like, I was expecting, like, oh, he's going to pull something out of his ass the last possible second.
No, and yeah, that's the thing, is he is someone who has potential, but is not necessarily great, and he's battling a GM. It's better to set it up from the outset that there does not have to be a loophole for that to happen. He's being judged based on how he does, not based on if he wins. And that's good, because Yao just jumped out by pulling out Marine Bulmon.
Yeah, it's like he's going to get demolished.
What I found interesting, and maybe I'm wrong, does it seem like she talks less during battle than she does out of it? Or do you think that's just the framing of the battle?
It's hard to say. I would need to see it, like, more than once.
Yes. And I think the climax at the end of the half chapter was probably the best art we've seen in Liberators so far.
It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I like this chapter. I am actually looking forward to the next one very much.
Yeah, this one... It picked, like, the perfect moment to stop. It's on solid art. So we'll see where that goes. And then the next tips column was going over Lapis Marine, which was where the match was. I will say I am amused by the columns all being, like, pseudo-ecological reports about the world. I think it works really well to expand stuff on weeks when there's no comic.
Yeah.
And then they updated...
Like, I'm actually interested in this world building. Who is that shadowy creature?
And then they updated the relationship charts. and weirdly gave us character profiles for secondary characters who were in the novel like a month and a half ago.
I've already forgotten all about them.
Because Aruba was the like pseudo mobster guy, and Reyna was the girl with the Demi Devimon who was trying to find the Bulkomon.
Yeah.
Like, these are from the last novel things. You would think they would put those up then. A bit odd.
Maybe it's to remind people that the novel exists. Like, hey.
I mean, you could do that by not putting up two full chapters every 3 months and every 6 weeks put up a chapter.
Yeah, but that would make too much sense.
Yeah.
At least us, anyway.
Yeah. And then skipping from Liberator over to Atmon, it is the 8th anniversary of the manga beginning.
Yay! Yeah. Which I still have never finished reading.
And drawn and written by Naoki Akimini, who still does some of the best Digimon art that we see on a normal basis. We still need to see
something amazing at all times.
We still need to see the finalized version of that Omegamon shot. And speaking of Omegamon, Digimon the movies on Blu-ray's up to pre-order.
Fuck yeah, shut up and take my money.
You would think this would reduce the stress on me, but it's just more stress. It's like, oh, now it's coming. Yeah, I'm very happy it's finally coming up, but man, it's a coming.
A very long time a coming.
Yeah. So let's go over what this is quickly. We will definitely talk more about this later. So it is the first three Digimon movies, Digimon Adventure, Our War Game, and Hurricane Touchdown. They're here. Subbed, a brand new dub with as much of the classic cast as possible, and Digimon the movie has been remastered in HD for the first time. All in one set. That is four movies made up of three movies with seven different ways to watch them.
I am so hyped.
Yeah, I finally get to stop thinking about this release because, one, been working on it for a few years, been actively putting stuff together for it for years, like I've mentioned in the past. And I vaguely remember having a conversation with Chris McFeely circa 2001 or so when the DVD came out, going, they should do a special edition. Here's what I would do. XYZ, XYZ. And some of that's here and some of it's not. Very excited for it to come out, but man, it's still a lot to think about, and it's not that long of a wait. It is 3 months.
I was expecting it to be like next year, but I am very glad it is not.
No, see, my favorite part was someone on, I think it was Reddit, asking like the day before pre-orders were announced about it, and so, you know, there's always someone who has to chime in about stuff they don't know about.
Of course.
Person going, well, approvals on a title like this are very complicated. I don't expect it for until the end of 2025 because of how complicated it's all going to be. And I just remember going, man, I'm not responding to this. We're literally announcing it tomorrow. Like, I just remember, like, just walk away, don't respond.
Apollo's dodgeball meme.
Yeah, so pre-orders are open at Crunchyroll. Pre-orders have been opening and closing at Amazon as they figure out something. I'm not sure what it is. Amazon's had weird stocking stuff with Blu-rays from multiple companies lately. Like, I put in a pre-order for the Steelbook of Deadpool and Wolverine, and now the pre-order page is, like, completely gone. Like, if I click, I literally get an error page for that, despite it showing in my panel as having pre-orders, so yeah, we'll see.
I was going to say, is it still like in your like history?
No,
as,
it,
yes,
it is
a thing that I have.
It is still there. There's a link in the orders. I can see the cover and everything. Like, it shows the movie. It shows the cover arriving October 22nd. If I click the link, I get an error page. In fact, I'm linking you to the page right now, Dev. That is in my order panel as the link for the movie on. It just pulls up an error page now. Like, I get the actual image and everything. It is very odd.
I just get a picture of a demented little chihuahua, yeah. And
but yeah,
sorry.
Like, it shows in my, it's happened with multiple movies later where stuff has appeared and disappeared, so we'll see. And moving on from that, they did this last year, a Digimon Adventure panel at New York Comic Con. Hiromi Seki will be there. I've said this is new art. I'm 99% sure it is. I don't recognize this art. Do you, Dev?
It's hard to say, because it looks...
You know what the problem is? And we talked about this a few years ago, where some of the updated marketing art wasn't so good, so it was easy to tell. They've stopped doing the not great ones. So you look at it and you go, this definitely isn't from year one, but I'm 99% sure this is new.
I'm about 85% sure. That's also the problem with like repeated poses.
Yes.
So it's like, did he do this one or is it one slightly different?
Now, the main thing is the text for the panel is very suggestive, but it's not inherently different than what we saw last year. So the text is, join us for an exclusive panel featuring Hiromi Seki, the producer of the Digimon Adventure 01 and 02 that dives into the Digimon series. Discover what exciting future awaits Digimon Adventure. Now, you can take that...
Okay, that sounds generic.
Now, you can... Yeah, see, that's the thing. The problem is when we're all waiting to hear what may be the future, it comes across as not generic, and who knows? They could certainly... See, here's the thing. You know what the future could be? They show the trailer and then show that teaser that mentions January.
They absolutely fucking would do that.
So we'll see. It wouldn't shock me if we get some sort of small news here, but who knows what it is. It could be small, it could be big, we'll see. On the plus side...
Just send someone over there.
On the plus side, it's only a few weeks away, which is at least nice. Although what would be nicer would be if they streamed the panel. That way it's just there, and it's not depending on people who are very bad at passing information at times.
I would go, but it takes me like over a month to get any kind of days off.
Yeah, so we will see. And then Digimon Paradox got a like preview page in VJump. I love these preview pages they're doing. This is only the second one, but they've been very nice. Although Paradox has the issue that you don't have a title page to show off.
That's fair, because like I don't need a title page. I'm using every scrap of page.
No, absolutely. But it does harm the ability to market and show it off. Because even when you look at these, like, these are good pages, but none of them are really like the screaming, get someone's eye type page. Because these are all actual...
Yeah, not like recollection.
Yeah, these are all actual, like, story pages. What you need is you need one of these with the text removed and made large.
And throw a title on it.
And then, Terrarmon Assistant Lab, we got two episodes featuring director Kakudo. So, most of it is stuff he's mentioned before, but sometimes with extra details. Some of the fun ones is Terrarmon gets quite upset with him arguing about shipping. And director Kakudo points out like they had a bunch of songs that were sent by, you know, by the agencies and whatnot to maybe be the intro. At one point, Braveheart was the candidate.
Well,
it did not have lyrics at the time. They liked it, though, so they made it the evolution theme, and that is why the visuals match so well. It was animated to the song.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah, that is why it always matches so well, and why it's used so often, is because it just matches it perfectly. And Kakudo's favorite episode is the Wizardmon one.
Rest in pieces.
Yeah. But yeah, most of it isn't stuff that we haven't heard before, but it's... And even Kakudo points out it's nice to, like, restate it sometimes and to also have it be from his mouth so it's not misunderstood, like, oh, it was shortened for a magazine. Yeah. And then the third piece of 25th anniversary art that they're having, artists do from Fuzi Choku. This one's actually
I really love good. This one. It's so soft looking.
It's the line art and the color combinations work supremely well.
I really love the watercolory look to it.
I think what also helps is it's framed so everyone has like their signature little area.
Yeah.
It just looks so good. And they did a short little interview with them where they talked about like they really love Digimon Adventure. So it's just fun seeing the art and having that done. Then this came up in the middle of the night a few nights ago. It got almost no tweets from official Digimon tweets minus one offhand because it's only kind of being announced, but not with details. Digimon Adventure will be appearing in the mobile game Puzzle and Dragons.
honestly, when I saw the art for this, I did not read the text, but I thought, like, oh, is it a Digimon-themed paintball?
What was funny was I think it's not the same type of game as Digimon Heroes, but Digimon Heroes was kind of like the card version of this type of genre. Although Puzzles and Dragons is one of the better ones of that type, to the point that there's been like a Mario version of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen so many Puzzle and Dragons collabs. Yeah.
It is one of the better games of that type. So, I don't know, it's weird because a lot of these collaborations we don't get, but then sometimes we do get them. Like, we got the one from, God, I don't remember. There's been so many in the last year. There was that one
like,
we got.
I know which one you're talking about, but I don't remember the title
of
it.
We were like shocked that it showed up in the US version. So we'll see. And then the return of the Digimon Partners Project 3 to make line stamps. Those were on sale a while ago. They took them down. They put them back up with some tweaks that the artist made. Because you have to remember, these are basically like goofy SD drawings, but they decided to tweak a few things. Like Gumamon had his red band on both arms in the original art. So they removed the one. A lot of them are very nip-tuck type changes. Like Wormmon, the original art of him, the phone had a cord.
Oh, okay, yeah. Also, like, squinting between the two, I was like, okay, what?
A lot of them, the tweaks are very minor. Like, probably one of the more noticeable one is Paledramon had very cartoony toy-style art, and they went with more, like, darker anime art in the revision. Like, a lot of these are very nitpicky changes. Like, if you look at the Gaomon one, they added the black to his gloves.
Okay.
Or, ready for my personal favorite for the nitpicky one? Look at Roto Nightmon. Look at the yellow thingy on his head. On both of them. They shrunk it a tiny bit and moved it a little bit.
Barely fucking noticeable.
No, but that's what I mean. Like, some of these are nitpicky. Some of these are slightly... Like, Beelzebubmon only has one of the little droopies now. Yeah, so, like, I would not have gone to the effort for most of these, to be honest. Because some of these are really nitpicky. But still nice that they went to the effort. And then, four more 15-second analyze specials. This time we get Zudomon, Andromon, Holy Angemon, and Lilymon. Although, I will say, one, the translations are getting worse for the subtitles, and the last two, at least last I checked, are not subtitled at all. Like, there was a run of a few of them where the subtitles were actually pretty good, mostly.
Yeah, now I guess they've just given up.
Possibly. Although I wonder if it's just whatever team does them just is too busy with other marketing crap.
Yeah, it's not like these are a high priority, really. No.
Especially now that they have the Terrymon videos and they've been doing better getting those subbed. And then
Terrymon is more important.
It's time for a stretch, Dev, before cards.
Oh, no. They're so many!
Need to stretch. Okay, ready, Dev? Okay, first up, Chimeramon. Chimeramon, however you want to say them. I actually really fucking like this art.
It is cool as shit.
Yeah, then Mugendramon. And I believe the idea is that the Chimeramon in the background is sort of the same one from the prior card. Like, it feels like the same pose, kind of.
Yeah.
Then the God of Evil descends in one of the few poses Zed Millenniumon has.
I really love it when they bring out the Hyper Colosseum style cards.
I actually think this is new. I think it's just one of the few poses he has. The name is from, I believe this name was in a Hyper Colosseum card, but I don't feel like it's Hyper Colosseum style.
Yeah, you can tell by
style.
The frame.
I will say, Zed Millenniumon is one of those characters that every time he gets art, people go, oh, I never noticed this before. Is that the spinny things around him is actually the Digimon web address.
And I remember that.
And the funny part is it used to be the old web address. And then when they went to Digimon.net, they actually start changing it in new art. So it's fun they've done that. And then, hey, look, it's Zed Millenniumon. I feel like this is where they should have shown the option card at a wildly different time, because it means we get two Zed Millenniumons in a row with kind of similar art. So like, yeah, what's so like, so,
I
so like
that little thing is all the way at the top of the screen.
No, it's the paperweight breaking.
Oh, okay. It's like,
it's Moon Millenniumon busting open and it becoming Zed, I believe. At least that's what I think it is. I could be wrong. And then Monodramon beating up on Impmon.
I really love this because it's basically the sprite pose from Brave Tamer.
They do that in a number of places. Strikedramon and Cyberdramon. I believe Cyberdramon, I think, is a Brave Tamer reference. Also, Strikedramon, I don't remember.
Cyberdramon definitely.
I think the back. The background, I believe, is from a boss battle or something in Brave Tamer. And you know, I didn't think about this until right now. They're inverse poses.
Oh, okay.
I didn't notice that at all. And it's the same artist, so yeah. And then the greatest card, Tokomon.
Yes. Angry baby.
Yes. And then can we just give them credit for Chombomon always being a creepy motherfucker?
You know what? When I used to work at GameStop, we would have people who came in with that kind of look on their face late at night to trade in some games and DVDs for cash.
I will say this. Now that I'm older, I do not fucking miss going to midnight game launches. Because I never wanted to be at the launch. I just wanted the fucking game.
The ones at my local GameStop are very fun, just because it's the same group of huge nerds, and they like to sing the Pokemon theme song.
See, I got tired of it after 2 specifically. And it may have been the last... Not the last I ever did, but one of them was. So first was the Wii, which was like 2 of them, because you had to wait for pre-orders, then that, and that was pain. And then iPhone 4, which was a morning one, which I just remember that being... In fact, I think I told you about that when it happened, where... Woke up early, did it, and then I was going to the English premiere of the Haruhi movie later that night, and I actually got sick.
This only sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. I left out the weirder bits, which may be more memorable, but less fun to talk about. Then we have Marine Bulmon and Ryugamon. Now, here's interesting. We did not know Ryugamon existed before this card.
But we're probably going to see it next week in the next Liberator.
Yeah. This is where they had to have it here because there is not a card set for 2 months. So no choice. Solid art for both. I feel like Ryugamon has better art. Marine Bulmon, more actiony and fun to look at.
I love the colors in both. And then, also like, yay, it's a new to branch.
And then Purification of the Sea God, which great looking card art. And you can see the castle on its back.
Zoom, 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 zoom. Ah, okay. There it is.
And then Pagumon being you can just tell something's up here. You're not 100% sure what it is, but you can tell something's up.
Just being a little shit.
And then parallel card start. So we get Megalogromon Ace and Taubon Ace.
Looking badass.
So here's the thing. Megalogromon has a nice mix of anime and comic stuff. Taubon, it's the painted style with the colors being like desaturated outside of the fire, works really well. And
I lean more towards Palmon for my favorite of these two.
Now, for Rapidmon Ace, do you remember how just a few minutes ago I was saying that there's something, that there's stuff that people newly notice every time? Apparently, a bunch of people did not realize that Rapidmon Ace with the visor open is a thing that we've had for 25 years. It's actually the
I was today years old when I learned his little face visor opens up.
Dev? Would you like me to show you how wrong that is? Not that you just noticed that, but I mean like how specifically. Oh no, Dev, you should have noticed this. I've just linked you his profile art.
How did I never fucking notice that?
It seems to be something that people just glaze over, but like his original profile art is in fact the visor open, and we've had other cards of him from this card game with the visor open. It's like people just don't notice it for some reason. But like this one, it's so specifically in your face, they can't ignore it.
It's like a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah. But like, I've known a number of people after this card came out went and looked at art to go, oh, this is the first time we've seen that. And then they're going, no, there's actually tons of, like, not necessarily tons, but a bunch of art is with the visor open. The gold one, I don't believe the visor ever opens on. Just the green one. But people remember him so strongly from the anime where it never opens.
Just overwrites everything else in their mind.
Yeah, exactly. Shoutmon EX6, great pillar art. I believe this is a redraw of the scene in the manga where EX6 first appears.
I need to go back and read that.
Solid art there.
Fucking cool.
Then we get a treat. For Taikis was the first tamer parallel card we saw for this set. It's new art from Yuki Nakashima, the creator of the manga.
I fucking love this art. All of the parallel tamers are so goddamn good.
We get this with Shoutmon. Then we get Kiraha with Greymon behind him. Then we jump over to Dynasmon X, which gets very... I love when it's Azmaria doing X evolutions.
He's having the time of his life drawing all the spiky things that he loves.
Rhodonightmon X also gets Azmaria. God, this is such a weird shot because it is like a perfect shoujo pose shot, but also it's like the spikiest motherfucker on the planet.
It's like, in front of stained
glass. Like, seriously, the exact pose. The exact pose is from any number of shoujo action stuff, but like, the armor just does not fit that vibe, and it's so fun.
I hate to say that pose, the thing that comes to mind when I see that pose is the one really bad Captain America picture by Rob Liefeld.
Oh, God. Then we're back to the new tamer art, this time Nene and Sparrowmon.
I must acquire.
And Amonimon. Then Saikyo gets a new art from Liberator. And then Luminamon Nene version gets new art. We normally see her with the eye thingy, right? But this one, it shows Luminamon separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Then Yao Qinglong gets new art for Pelagard. This is really solid art, this one.
Also shows Sagomon's personality.
Sleeping?
He just wants a nap.
Yes.
Yes.
Then Sagomon's parallel card, we get to see his full line from Liberator. This is such a good card, especially the silhouette way art of the others.
Yeah, I like the integration of the babies in there.
I like how much that Shellmon is bothering people. Multiple people have mentioned to me that Shellmon in this art bothers them for one key reason. It looks very Agumon-ish.
Yeah, that's just kind of the shape of its face.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, is the lack of color makes it easier to notice. Then Ryugamon gets a parallel card. This is just good art. I don't have much to say about it, but I like the look to it.
I love all the coral.
Queen Beemon. Am I wrong, or is this supposed to be like an idol shot?
It absolutely is.
Okay, because I was like, 100%. Yeah, she's doing like a hand thing, and you have the bees like not praying.
Well,
but
you can imagine them, what is it, like the little glow sticks at concerts.
Yeah, that's like the vibe that I had from this. Lusamon X gets really good art.
The angle is so fucking cool.
Yeah, because here's it. It's the appearance of being underneath him at an angle, but they detail everything as if it were straight on, and it works really well because they're very careful with the perspective. It's especially neat because if you like look at his knee, where it almost feels like it's coming out of the card a bit.
Yeah,
it's just really solid art there. Beelzebub Blast Mode Ace. It's hard to comment on this one. Mine's just being like, wow, it's very anime plus.
Especially the wings.
And it's not an insult. It looks great, but man, it's hard to like have something to say. Mine is, it's so cartoony and good. Justimon Blitz Arm Ace. This is the final battle from Brave Tamer, I believe.
Sure as hell fucking looks like it.
I believe it's that. It's inspired by that. Is him battling Zed.
They use like the same background color and everything.
And then, so I like that Sasaki figured out something neat to do with everyone's favorite Moon Millennium on the paperweight.
Crying.
No. It's busting out of the Millennium on card from the last set.
Oh shit, I didn't even notice that. I thought it was just like someone decided to throw him out a window.
The shattering effect, the art, is the normal Millenniumon card from Booster 18.
That is fucking amazing.
I know, and it really... Because here's the thing. There's only so much you can do visually with Moon. And this is
because he's a paperweight.
And this is really fucking cool because even if you don't realize it's the prior card, it shows it destroying something, even if it's unclear what it is. But that's just such a cool fucking thing to do. And then we get Zed in his traditional pose, which they've made unique by moving the camera slightly to the left.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Zed, despite being very big and menacing looking, has the same issue as Moon, which really, there's no pose stuff to do with him based on the setup of the character. So I actually...
It's just the swirly thing with heads.
I do like the angling here. It makes it feel like the final boss in a game. Like in a cutscene.
Which it kind
of
is.
It's like, oh, fuck, I'm finally at the end of Kingdom Hearts 27. It's like, oh, no, who's this fucker now? And then he's going to shrink back into Xehanort, and then you have to fight him again.
Yep.
And then we get the special parallel previews. So these all have... So the five, the Kenji Watanabe did all the comic vibe with various anime references, the most obvious one being the Megalogromon Evangelion.
Absolutely.
Some of the others are more generic poses, like you get Justimon doing... I want to say it's... I'm trying to remember which
it's
pose.
It's like the Henshin pose.
I want to say it's one of V3's actual fight poses. Or maybe it's Kikaider. It's one of them. Then we get like actual comic effects in Rapidmon. Then
Gilsonmon still has like the dithering too.
Then Zed Millenniummon gets gold foil art by Tone Mikanji. This one's interesting because a lot of the ones we've seen in recent sets, it's been mostly black with minimal coloring. This, it's full color. The outline is all foil.
This really gives me our war game vibes.
And this is the type of one where I'm just glad they include the photos of the cards because it looks so much cooler. And then we get a commercial. The commercial's way fucking better than any commercials we've gotten for sets in the past. I don't have much to say about it. It's just really cool. It's worth watching. Then the box topper previews are same art used for the five tamers from Tamer. And Kulumon gets a color variant, which his card was white, which makes it not that striking because it's like light gray normally.
Yeah, because I was trying to look like, what's the difference?
So,
it's the same.
You remember how sometimes they do the variant ones where it's the same card, but it gets a color border matching the card color? The problem is his card color is white. So
I would have made it hot pink.
See, I'm trying to think. You know what I would do? I would actually remove the main art of him and just show the six background pieces.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's a box topper for 19. For 19, we also have clean cards for everything except the parallel cards, plus some recent ones, which includes limited card set 3 and 4, and a bunch of recent promo cards. Too many to go over.
Dear God, we've done enough cards.
Well, there's been a break of cards for like 2 or 3 months at this point. So
and it was very lovely.
So the promo cards built up to be like 50 of them. Then V-Jump had previews of Booster 19, and also a small little Q&A with Nakashima. He actually mentioned some interesting things about the new Tamer card that he drew. It's been 10 years since last time he drew them. Not only has his style changed, at the time, he was still drawing to paper. He's not anymore. So he had to, one, remember how he drew them at the time, and also incorporate the differences to his style now while trying to find a balance. He muses on if he was able to capture that feeling of back then. I think he was. These are, like, I mean, you said it. They're all just great.
I want to acquire all of these.
Yeah. And he notes that Taiki in the manga is humorous and intelligent with a generous heart, but he has a complex of not being able to work hard for his dreams, but he only gets worked up when dealing with Kiraha, who's straightforward. He feels like he hasn't been able to draw this type of kind-hearted person in other comics.
Oh, that's a shame.
And then we have the packaging for EX-08 Shade of Liberation, which is 2 months away, so there'll be a bit of a break in card stuff.
Thank you.
And this one's going to have a heavy focus on the additional characters from the novel, it appears, and a first look at the ultimate for the Suna Rizamon, who's going to appear in the novel.
Oh, very nifty.
Which, that is not how I would imagine his ultimate to look. Hulk smash. a lot of people are bringing up Exodia from Yu-Gi-Oh. I like how you heard that and almost choked to death. And then Card Battle had various matches with Booster 19 in the lead up to that coming out.
Okay.
And then, Dev, are ready for products that are not card related now. So first up, Annabirth has two waves of new products. The first is 8 plushies of the kids from Adventure, which
they look so cute.
I know, they're fucking good and a little pricey, but they look good. And then plump keychains. These are like puffy keychains of the Digimon babies and in training for one. Or baby or child for one. Bleh, mix that up. And then a series called Digimon Kitchen, which has stacking mugs, cutlery set, a Sierra cup is a choice for one of these, a pot holder mitt, and a placemat. I will say, minus the pot holder and the placemat, these all feel like a little much and not really worth the price.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, here's a little tiny Digivice kind of like lasered into the side.
See, here's the thing that bothers me. The cutlery set. You can't do like a cutlery set with enough like for placements. What good is spending $20 on one fork spoon and what appears to be a ribbed butter knife?
It's sad.
Yeah. And these will be October 4th at online. I would say which is the best item, but we all know it's good, the fucking plushies.
It's the plushies. Yeah, absolutely.
There's no like question there.
I really like the Joe one.
They're all designed really well. And then from V-Jump, we get a preview of the Pale Drabon model kit, which is out, I believe it's this... 28th. And then we get a page spread with a potpourri of stuff. So we get the Ichiban Kuji Lottery, the costume figures, which just came out in Japan. Ghost Game is joining the Otodama set.
Yeah.
I will say this, from photos, from the photo here, I believe the two that look the best are Gamamon and Jellymon.
Absolutely. Gamamon is fucking precious.
Jellymon feels like they put extra effort just based on that one shot.
As they should. She deserves it.
Then they showed off the new Kenji Watanabe 25th anniversary products, the look-up figure of Tentomon and Palmon. They showed off the Osaka venue of the 25th anniversary exhibition, and Digimon Adventure streaming on Hulu in Japan now.
Oh, neat.
Poll results for favorite Digimon TV anime main character final form, not movie. Now, this is where people get confused and or upset that Omegamon was there. And it's like, no, it's Omegamon from 2020. Who not only utterly crushed the vote when still there appeared to be vote stacking and still destroyed everything. One out of every four vote was Omegamon.
That's what I said. Congrats, Omegamon.
Not really a wild surprise. I will say, clap, clap, clap for Dukemon Crimson Mode doing so well. And poor Shoutmon X7. Superior Mode's cool enough that he deserved to be a bit higher.
Yeah, but also, like...
Yeah, who else would be at the bottom?
Yeah.
That's the issue. And then the new poll is favorite Digimon TV anime partner of a main female character. They do a range of levels here just for, like, not necessarily the most memorable, but the ones that are memorable, I would say. Like, Sakuyamon doesn't quite fit in here because most of these are not like final bust them up type characters. Which
it's hard to say who's gonna win. I mean, weirdly fucking at the top.
I will say this: it feels like there should be a good spread of votes for this one.
Who do you think is gonna be at the bottom?
Not based on my least liked, but based on the history of the polls, Ojimon.
That's not what I was.
These polls that have included Atmon and stuff have historically shown us that despite Atmon fans being very loud on social media, it's like the tiny dog barking loudly. I would love more Atmon stuff, but we've seen in these polls that Atmon fans just do not show up for them.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it would be interesting. There's a solid range here, though, so I'm very curious to see. And then weekend stuff. So first up, Digimon Adventure, they started streaming in Japan on YouTube for free for a bit. So various people were posting about how to inspire them. Wawaga, who draws Recollection, pointed out that one of the main shots is from that movie, from Recollection. Director Kakudo talked about Bolero being used a bit. Hosat had asked him if he wanted to use something like Bach or Bolero instead of a usual accompaniment song. Kakudo wondered if it was a good idea because it was a piece in a movie called Neo Fantasia, which sort of an Italian parody of Fantasia. Hosada hadn't seen it at the time, so it wasn't like a reference thing. So there wasn't any reason for him not to use it. Reference book update for Marine Bulmon. That is good art. It's also very weird. It like almost does not look flat enough. Like if you look around his head, there's almost like a weird texture curvature to it. It looks
it's the goo.
Yeah. Then Tenya Buno pointed out that he's working on chapter 2, and he showed a little preview, and he pointed out that as he's drawn Wan Yaman more and gotten used to him, his love for him has doubled. And he also told an embarrassing story that he appeared to tell in the sense of, you know, letting people know that they need to keep trying and keep learning. He pointed out he found a page where he had flipped the layout right to left. So the right page was on the left page was on the right. And he's like, he can't believe he made the mistake, but he's glad he caught it. Because he had the pages out of order for the listing, which would have been a problem. Yeah.
Like, oops.
Then we get art of Owen from Tomo 01. They point out, even if like, oh, the Digimon Yao uses looks cool, but I wanted to go with Owen for their little, you know, their staff on it. They do their own little art just as a fan to show it off.
Yeah.
And Usagi Bochi, who, like, one of the main people for Liberator, went nuts that week. So we get new art of Yang Quinlan to celebrate the chapter. Then they start testing negative shapes in Grisella using Arisa. They do the same with Yao. They show off the monochrome versions of both of those. Then they actually put up the montage of the drawing being done for Yao.
Damn.
Which is neat. Then, news for a few events that are outside of the US, because always nice when people give us enough information to post about these. Luca Comics and Games was the Italian convention that was announced as having a bit of a Digimon celebration. They're having producer Yu Kaminoki there, who they did a lot of the overseas sales for Kizuna and such. October 30th, they will have a screening of our war game. There will also be a Digimon booth exhibition type thing for the entire event. And then announced, Mela Mela Anime Japan Anime Convention in New Delhi was doing a series where they were announcing musicians who were coming, but they were announcing them like like the events this weekend, and they were announcing them one by one last week as like a last minute tease. And one of them is Takeyoshi Tanimoto.
Come on.
Now, I would say, and even the person who sent this, like, the expectations probably is them singing their Dragon Ball stuff, not their Digimon stuff, but still, we'll see. I doubt anyone would complain if he busts in to break the chain.
I hope there's a recording if he does.
And then a bunch of photos, nicer photos of that new Annabirth stuff. I will say, it makes the keychains look much nicer, seeing them properly.
Yeah, the colors look off in the previous photos.
Yeah. But yeah, all everything looked cool there. Then posted a bit late, Marika Koto, who was Mimi in 2020, showed off her visiting the exhibition before.
That's a cute pose.
Yeah, it is. I want to say she was in one of the preview photos in the background that someone took from the preview event.
Wasn't she with
the Mimis?
Yes.
I want to say she was in the background of one of the shots, but not in the actual photo. Like she was wandering around and they didn't notice she was there. I think I could be thinking of someone else, but I don't remember, honestly. A few updates for Terrabon Lab. So first up, it hit the 50,000, which was their goal. And they put up little celebration videos. And one of them was in English.
Yeah. Let me get a chance to watch that.
And then Director Kakudo did a little overview of Terrabon Assistant Lab, putting out he was a guest. He also points out this is not the Terrabon from Tamers becoming an assistant. This is a separate character. He actually said the discussion went long, so it became a two-part. He was actually only there for one. He liked the questions. He had wondered what the response, how people would react to the responses, but it seems like people liked them. He also mentions that, yes, most of what he said has been discussed before, and he muses on if he'll get to show up again.
He fucking better.
And then two pieces of art from Usagi Bochi. We get Violet tying into the new column in her appearance in Lapis Marine.
Cute.
Am I wrong, or is this supposed to be like a postcard type shot? I don't think I'm imagining
that.
It feels like it. And then we get monochrome art of the two characters we got profile updates for, which looks nice. And then it's time for questions you guys in chat can throw yours up while we look at the ones that were sent in ahead of time. Someone said, what do you think we see for more V-Pets and Digivice toys in the future? I feel like the two most obvious ones were, one, more Digivice evolutions, whether that's more adventure ones or moving on for more. And for more V-Pets, it feels like at some point we'll get an original color one, don't you think?
I hope so.
Yeah. Not a complicated question there, but like it feels like that's what they're going to do. And there was someone asked, I was curious, what types of YouTube and Twitch stuff do you watch?
It depends on how fried my brain is after work.
Yeah, so. I think we're like on the same page there. Like, for example, I haven't watched much of Twitch lately, just been busy. For YouTube, I guess the most obvious one is I wake up and I start doing stuff, and then I sit down for a few minutes and watch the newest Mario video that Pangea Panga puts up, which is him playing through Mario Maker stages.
I watch a lot of cleaning videos, like power washing or stuff like that.
I watch those occasionally. There's only so many times I could watch a carpet or a wall getting sprayed. Although the carpets get disgusting.
Oh, I like to watch where they're detailing cars or tearing apart computer systems.
Yeah, those ones are good too. They did one of those. They did another one of the extreme tech upgrades on Linus Tech Tips, which was good and weirder than normal, frankly.
I saw a video recently where it was going over the worst, most horrible things that they have seen inside of a computer.
Yeah, I don't need to know that. I can guess what some of them are, but yeah.
Biohazard.
Yeah. Then someone said, do you think Atmon gets integrated into the brand at large at some point? To some degree, it already has. It's more just when does it start showing up in stuff like the card game? Because, like, for example, yeah. The polls have Atmon in it. There's Atmon stuff you can buy right now. It's just people don't buy it. But, like, that's what those, like, there's an off. We've said for a year and a half now, there's an Offmon plush that, as far as we can tell, I have not seen many people brag that they have that. And that is a very cheap, affordable
one. It's really cute.
Yeah. I have that stupid thing. I have the Galmon one, even.
I want the Galmon one.
The Galmon one's neat, I will say. What games and movies coming up are you looking forward to?
Zelda.
God, that's coming out at, like, either the best or most terrible time for me. Because it's this week, right?
Yep, this Thursday.
So I'm moving next week. But here's the key thing. At one point, I will be sitting in the house alone, waiting for stuff to begin to show up to start pointing out where stuff goes. So I've already planned to, like, okay, I'm going to carry my computer down myself. Because giant monstrosity, don't want anything to break, have work to do.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to bring Steam Deck. And I'm also going, do I want to bring my Switch, or does that get too complicated at that point? Because remember, the problem is at some point, I have to turn it off and then I will not be playing it again, possibly for days. I'm not sure I want to start a Zelda game like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's more like the puzzle type, so.
But see, that's the thing, is I can install, I can install like a couple fighting games or a couple shooters or something on the Steam Deck, and likely just play around for a couple hours and then not worry about it. Zelda, if I start playing, I would be like, man, I don't want to start.
They're going to be involved.
Yeah, it's sort of like for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the second remake game in the remake series. I didn't start playing it for like 3 weeks. I just avoided spoilers. And then once I had the time, I played nonstop for like a week. Because I didn't want to be start-stop on that. So I'm leaning to that for Zelda, especially since it looks more relaxing than some recent Zeldas. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Tears of the Kingdom was really relaxing, especially when you're committing war crimes against Koroks.
It's relaxing. Sometimes it's not relaxing when you're in an area and there's an autosave and you have almost no supplies. So your choice. So the choice at that point was basically get good. And I did, and I fucked shit up. But yeah, there was an autosave near. Do you remember the tower slightly outside of the fort barracks where it's like surrounded by, they launch the balls at you and you can't actually escape from it?
Ah, yes.
It autosaved me there, and I had very few supplies. So basically, it was me having to plan exactly and then like run away, drop stuff behind me that's going to explode at the right moment.
Yeah, I just baited everyone out and just murdered them.
Oh, no, I definitely did that plenty. I was much more careful after that because I just did not want to leave that area, and it was a pain to leave anyways. Because when everything respawns, there's stuff blocking the way out.
Oops.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I have to get good and, like, really, with almost no supplies. Then let's see. Last question, unless we get any from the chat. How do you think you'll discuss the I know people ask about movies also, but we got caught up talking about Zelda. How do you think you'll discuss the Digimon movie Blu-ray when it comes out on the podcast? Well, I think Dev plans to pre-order it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it won't just be me alone. We don't really have to review the movies because we've talked about them before. Definitely be talking about the dub. Maybe I will see if there's anyone else around who can join us. I don't know who, but we will see. Because there'll be
plus the like this godforsaken hour.
Probably AR.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll see. I don't know if any of the actors or anyone else involved would be available at that time, but we'll see what happens. Joe asked, which series of Digimon after Frontier do you think were most successful for Bandai or Toei? Try in 2020, as far as things that were ongoing on any basis. We know that for a fact. The only reason we had a decade-ish of ongoing Digimon stuff was because of how Try did. And 2020 ended, and we immediately went to Ghost Game.
It prints fucking money.
Yeah. It's sort of like the example of Savers would be. Savers, they finished the last toys. The Agumon evolves into Shine Greymon, and Galmon turns into Mirage Galgamon. They didn't release them. The toys were done. They did end up coming out in Korea a couple years later. But yeah, Savers did poor enough at the tail end that they didn't even release finished, like, nice toys. And anytime we see those toys, we're like, damn, those actually do look nice.
Like, please release them.
Yeah. The funny part is whenever they do the toy displays, they have them there in the Korean boxes, and it always feels like it's annoying someone. Yeah. Like, I would not have expected that at this point we would still get the occasional branded 2020 product. Because almost anything that's 2020, you could just brand as Digimon Adventure, outside of, like, if it has Alter S. But like the...
Or special colors or something.
But like the costume figures that came out in Japan just a few weeks ago, which were 2020 products from China and the US a while ago, you don't have to brand that as 2020. I think the entirety of 2020 content in those toys is, I want to say, can you see Yamato's armband, maybe? I think that's it. Like, you can 100% not do that as 2020 branded if you don't want to. But yeah. Trying to think, is there anything else? We're just talking about series as in TV series or film series. Obviously, Kizuna did very well for them, but that's not really an ongoing thingamajigger, even with the O2 movie.
Yeah.
But that's also why, for example, we get ongoing adventure stuff now, is they did Adventure, they did O2, both of those did great. Tamers didn't really do well. Frontier did worse. Wait a few years. Savers, not great. Cross Wars did better than people expect. It didn't do right with the audience they wanted and on the larger scale. And then when Try comes, you have to remember, at that point, Adventure, outside of the occasional small thing like an audio drama or a game, Adventure had been gone 12 years at that point, Dev?
Don't ask me to do math this late.
Well, no, I know, but it's one of those things where people are like, why don't they do stuff other than Adventure? Because they did for a long time and no one bought shit.
Yes, they're here to make money, and adventure makes them all of the money, and which lets them do some weird shit on the side.
Yeah, like Liberator, which is a neat little weird thing on the side. Or Seekers, which is a neat little... Like, we get... Hell, while Tri was going, we got Atmon, which is a really weird shit thing on the side. I like Atmon, but that is absolutely a wild thing to do right as the brand is doing other stuff. Still neat, though. Okay, Dev, what Wiki Marmog would you like people to read? I know what you're going to say.
Shellmon?
No, I thought it was going to be Rapidmon, honestly.
No, I actually completely forgot Rapidmon existed, because once it was out of my sight, it just ceased to exist.
Oh, are you still looking at that one Shellmon art from the Sangomon card?
Yes.
Yeah. And I can be found with the will as always. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you hopefully in 2 weeks, but we'll see if Dev trying to poke the bear about internet problems will come true. So,
who knows?
And I will be at a different location. So catch you all next time. Thanks for showing up. Bye.
Bye.